Kipper, Happy New Year, pal. Happy New Year. Hockey's back.
What's going on? We're not even through media day, and we're beating it up already on the Leafs. I love it.
Oh, well, hey.
Hey, Ziggy.
Yeah, it's just not. It's going to be nonstop now. I mean, not even a training camp, not even a blue and white game, and it's already like.
Hey, we're past development. We're past development camp, though. Okay. We're past development camp.
There is no training camp for those guys to know what's coming their way, you know, one way or the other. And I've been listening to your conversations and dealing with the media, dealing with social media, blocking it out, whatever. Play, see what happens. That's all you can do as athletes in this particular town playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Go out there. Play as hard as you can. Let the chips fall where they may.
Kipper, I would imagine, and it's an oversimplification and probably somewhat narrative-driven, but in terms of the temperature or the mood in the locker room, I can't imagine that this season is going to be much different than any other season. The fact that a chunk of the fan base is saying, show me in April, show me in May, and wouldn't it be great if you're also showing me in June? That doesn't matter. You've still got a six-month, 82-game slog to get through. You're back in the Atlantic Division. There are going to be a lot of nights where a lot of special things happen. Is Austin going to get 50? Is Mitch going to be on either side of 100 points, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We can't get to April until the calendar gets us to April, right? I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah, and you don't buy into that because, as you say, there's the day-to-day operation of the Leafs that you'll monitor as a fan and also the on-ice product. And there will be small storylines. And when you've got 1,000 people covering this team, they're always going to find different storylines and different things to talk about. So they'll have to go through the process like they've done for the last, 75 years. And there'll be different storylines and there'll be distractions and there'll be feel-good stories and there'll be stories that make them not want to come to the rink the next day. But that's just the beauty of playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, Ziggy kind of can maybe attest to this. There's not too many guys that say they don't want to play here. And they've heard all the stories. And they've watched the stories from afar. And yet, they still want to be the Toronto Maple Leaf because you are in the action. And it is talked about all the time. And there is a chance for a guy like, a fourth line winger that you wouldn't look at twice in Carolina or Arizona, and he can end up with a National Soup commercial, okay? So that's the beauty of playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah, a guy played with a 40-goal scorer in a non-hockey market, and he couldn't get a... He couldn't even get a free car for a month and comes to Toronto, scores 10 goals, and he's doing like all these deals. He's got hundreds of companies calling him and
can't pay for a meal at a restaurant.
He couldn't even get a stick deal down south. And then he comes up to Toronto and then it was like 100 different deals, like cars.
when I got traded to the Leafs, I could not believe that every guy had a free phone. And this is when phones are just kind of getting started. And I got bills of like $400 a month, $500 a month. My phone bill's killing me. And then you come to the Leafs and everybody's got a free phone, long distance, anything you want. And I'm like, this alone is worth it. This alone is worth being a Toronto Maple Leaf. Man, you guys got free phones. How cool is that?
With Nick Kyprios. So, Kipper, I mean... Look, hope springs eternal. It's still September. There's a long way to go here. But if you were to prioritize a couple of storylines, like broad topics that will be worth tracking over the course of the season, who's gonna start the most games in goal? Are we on UFA watch with Morgan Riley? Obviously, the playoffs or the push toward the playoffs will be a thing, but that's still months and months away. Like, as we sit here right now, what are one or two big concerns if you will, for lack of a better word to use, that you would have to focus on with this team?
Well, Scotty Mac, those are huge, first of all. For a team that's supposed to contend for the Stanley Cup, those are huge, major question marks. So, you know, if we go from forward to defense to the net, the first one, of course, is who replaces Zach Hyman's minutes, his energy, his ability to create out there. And you start looking down the left side, and again, for a team that's supposed to compete for the Stanley Cup, Richie, Kerfoot, Blunting, is he a top six guy? Does he drop down to the bottom? You know, who's going to be on that left side to step up? And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Nick Ritchie to step in, be with Matthews, and do some great things. But that's the hope, and you hope he's ready for that challenge. And then there's others that go, well, why wasn't he ready for that challenge in Anaheim? And why couldn't he do it for the Boston Bruins? So the odds of him coming in and catching fire on a number one line and doing the things that Zach Hyman did, I don't like his odds. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, and I'm not saying that those last two experiences with other organizations haven't led him to make some tough decisions on how he wants to be perceived as a hockey player and how he's ready now to finally be the player that warrants a top 10 pick in the NHL draft, but the odds aren't really there for him to strike lightning, but we'll see how it goes along. And then if you want to go down, and you just mentioned it, Morgan Rielly, like, to me, that's huge right now is, you know, where is Morgan Rielly's buy-in into this season? Most often than not, when you got a guy going into his UFA in his last year, there's always the question marks. I mean, you can go back to Tavares in the island. Will he sign? Oh, he'll sign. No, he'll sign. They won't let him go. No, he's leaving. No, he's staying. No one's saying those questions for Morgan Rielly, okay? There's nobody saying he's staying. When you factor in what other defensemen have gotten, there's just no way the Leafs can sign him anywhere close to a fair market deal. So as far as I'm concerned, Morgan Rielly's Elton John, man. He's on a farewell tour this year. So the question is now, how does he go about his business? How do the Leafs go about their business with Morgan Rielly? And Morgan's been a guy for the last couple of years now who's watched other people take his job on the power play. You know, and it's one thing to give it to Tyson Barrie, who's had some good runs in Colorado. He steps in and becomes the pivotal guy when Babcock leaves, Sheldon Keefe comes in. But then he watched it again at the end of last season with a guy that was unproven in Sandin come in and take his spot on the power play. So where's Morgan Rielly to start? Do the Leafs go back to Morgan and say, you're our guy, we're renting you this year, but you're our guy, and you're going to be the guy on the power play to start, or is it not? Because if I was Morgan, I would have been ticked off beyond belief at the end of the season to watch an unproven rookie come in and take my job on the power play. And I know I'm not perfect on the power play, but I'm still better than an unproven rookie at the end of the season.
Okay, so Kipper, and Ziggy's going to smirk, and I can see him on FaceTime, so I'll find out if he actually does, but because he knows I've been beating this drum for a while, let it go for the summer, but particularly in the spring post-playoffs. What is Morgan Rielly still doing here? And this is not actually about a caliber of player like Morgan Rielly. It's about Rielly given his situation. This team has traded first-round draft picks religiously to get out from Patrick Marleau's contract, his final year of his contract, to acquire Jake Muzzin. Okay, Jake Muzzin has worked out nicely. The Nick Foligno thing didn't go as planned. I understand that, but it's a first-round pick out the door. Like, three of the last four first-round draft picks are out the door. They do have their first-rounder this year, but the middle rounds are an abyss. They've got three draft picks as we sit here this morning in the 2022 draft. Where are the replenishments coming to consistently watch these UFAs walk out the door? The Bozaks, the Van Riemsdyks, the Hymans, guys are just walking. Who are you replacing them with? Right? At some point, it is going to catch up if it hasn't already.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what? That'll be for the next general manager. That's not Kyle Dubas's issue. Kyle's all in this year. He's doubled down on his core group. And right now, that's not Kyle Dubas's concern. And it's, what is that documentary? All or Nothing. And that's carrying over to this year. And you're right. I mean, you've watched Zach Hyman leave out the door for nothing. And now you're going to potentially do it to Morgan Riley. To me, the first rounder for Nick Foligno was a complete disaster. And now you start hearing stories about he wasn't healthy and, you know, he never got on track. And it's like, he get, like, how huge would that first rounder be now if you had it to add to this group if you needed it at some point in January or February? That's a huge first rounder that was completely lost on a guy who never came here healthy.
Yeah, nah, it's even outside the injury, I don't think it just didn't seem like the right fit. And that can happen, right? You roll the dice, you bring a guy in. But with Sheldon Keefe, what kind of pressure is on him this year? And can he, like, you, everyone knows the power struggle, right? You get guys that make a lot of money, and if you're young, it's tough to coach the way you want to coach. Do you think there's any of that in Toronto with Marner, Matthews, and sometimes when you're a coach, you gotta tighten the screws for your top guys, right? Do you see any of that with Keefe, and do you see him changing the way he approaches the season?
No, I don't, to be honest with you. You know, he, just go back to Babcock before he was fired and how people were screaming, you know, get Matthews and Marner more ice time. And now you've got Sheldon comes in, and now people are saying, you got to pull back their minutes. Like Mitch Marner, 24 minutes. It's too much. And then there's the pressure on Mitch Marner in those 24 minutes to produce and carry. So imagine the level of frustration when, you know, the team's not scoring, Mitch isn't scoring, and then you get into this vicious cycle of Mitch trying to do too much. And we saw that at the end of the Montreal series. Mitch, how many times did we see him try to do a little bit more and then turn the puck over in the neutral zone? That's because of the pressure on him to perform. And that's where, you know, Sheldon can't go and play these guys as much. And then, you know, Ziggy, as we know, you know, because, you know, we were a little down in the depth order sometimes, then the rest of the bench get kind of lost a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose your focus a little bit. You're not on the ice as much. You're not as involved. And the dynamic for Sheldon has been off, I think, on two playoff series, one in Columbus and then towards the latter part in Montreal. But I got to think that he's gonna go heavy on those guys right off the bat. I don't see him shifting, you know, the amount of ice time down his roster when I look at, you know, the bargain basement prices that they pay for some of these guys. He's going to go to Matthews, Nylander, Tavares. You know, he's going to go to those guys with those key minutes, and he's going to sink or swim with them.
With Nick Kypreos, the podcast is Line Movement. The book is called Undrafted, and this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I don't know if there's any reason to link Kirill Kaprizov's five-year, $45 million deal with the Minnesota Wild to some other pending big-name RFAs, Kipper, but Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes in Vancouver. I mean, Matthews, Marner, there are examples out there of guys exiting entry level who prefer the five-year contract now or somewhere in that neighborhood because it gets them to 27 or 28 years old, where they can then hit UFA and then try to maximize term through their mid-30s. Is that what's holding up Ottawa, Brady Tkachuk?
Yes.
Is that what's holding up the two folks out west? Like, where's all, in your mind, where's all that at?
Absolutely, it's holding it up, and you can thread Kirill's contract right to Austin Matthews. Okay, when you get top dollar and you get to say no, not for 8 years, what organization wouldn't want those guys tied up for that amount of length when you're got the high AAV? Yet these guys can now dictate a 5-year deal. Like, you know, just back to the Leafs for 2 seconds. Like, they're on the clock with Austin Matthews, and he's got 3 years left. Really, the Leafs only have 2 years with Austin, because that third year, we assume, you know, they wouldn't rent Austin Matthews for the third year, you know? So you only have 2 years left to try to win a Stanley Cup with Austin Matthews. To me, it's been such a shift in what we've seen in the last little while, where those guys traditionally have had no leverage, and now they've got so much. And they're turning around and saying, nope, I want my top-end salary, but I only want it for a shorter period of time. And, you know, they got aspirations and probably plans, and sometimes it doesn't include being with the same organization throughout their career. You know, from the inner circle, you know, you start hearing stuff like maybe the Tkachuks would like to end up back home with the family, you know, maybe down the road. They envision them playing for St. Louis, and that can't happen, you know, or I should say, it's got a better chance to happen in the prime of our career if I sign a 4 or 5 year deal and not an 8 year deal. And then you got the Hughes family, who now they've got 3 boys, and don't tell me for 1 second they're not envisioning all the boys playing together on one team. Now, I like that odds of that happening down the road with New Jersey a lot better than I do Vancouver. So maybe Hughes is thinking shorter term deal and maybe giving me the option to play with my brothers down the road. So this is the mentality now of these guys on shorter term deals.
Thanks for leaving out Austin in Arizona. We don't need that on day one of training camp. We don't need to worry about that. And who knows, maybe the Arizona Coyotes will be the somebody else, something else's in a couple.
I think there's a better chance it's L.A. than Arizona, but we'll revisit this in 2.5-3 years.
We'll worry about that later. Always good to hear your voice, Kipper. Thanks for this, and we'll talk again very soon.
All right, boys, let the games begin.